Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Here we go. I'm not even sure what we're reviewing tonight.
Socks.
You want to talk about something else?
Patriots are on.
Zach almost went to Post Malone last night. Is that two nights ago? Last night?
Last night, yeah.
I heard it was good.
Yeah, I heard it was good, too. Stiz was saying it was a lot of country music, which was my fear, but...
Yeah. That sounds better than this. Oh, man. All right, welcome. It's Red Sox Review. We are live, for better or for worse, staggering our way, battered and bloodied, and our eyes hurting, exhaustion and dehydration somehow setting in. We are here. Hello, Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe, Inside the Glass, Red Sox Review. Live with you all night long. We are with you for the duration. We will have, just for your programming notes here, we're going to have Red Sox Review. We're going to talk about this. We're going to analyze this. We're going to talk to you. We'll do the text line. We'll do the call lines. We're going to hear from Craig Breslow. We're going to hear from Alex Cora. We're going to hear from Brian Bayo, I presume. We're going to hear from all these people. And then right after us, second Pat's end, we bop you right over to Six Rings. Boys will be in here ready to talk. Jets and Patriots, and mostly Jets, it appears, but, you know, there's all of that. But, shoot, we start tonight on Red Sox Review, 617-7797-937, 617-7797-937, text line 37937. That is already hopping. We'll get to you in just a second here. It's not pretty over there as well. In a month of offensive futility, we have taken the full cake here tonight. And this offense that, again, when you look at June 1st to right around August 15th, if you want to go by average on base, slug, average exit velocities, OPS, obviously, with those other two, WRC plus, whatever tickles your fancy. This was the best. Unquestionably a top three, but by many of those statistics, the best offense in baseball. Were they lucky? Get into that. We've had that conversation a little bit. I don't think that's entirely true. I think it's far too big of a sample size with great results for that to be true. But whatever that was is not what's happening right now. And this offense that has been, really the worst in Major League Baseball since the beginning of September and just towards the end of it, has had its worst 3 days of its season, certainly of this stretch in Tampa. I'm going to read you some numbers. They're going to be ugly. You know, close your ears. I don't know. Listen, you know, enjoy the pain. Whatever. The Red Sox are, in these three games, 10 for 90. 90 at-bats, 10 hits. They're 10 for 90. They're hitting 111. They're 10 for 90. They have struck out 33 times. They struck out 11 times tonight after striking out 14 times last night. They struck out 37% of the time in this series. And they were one hit, and I had Zach Rowland on this one. They were one hit for the first time in a nine-inning game since July 21st, 2019. Andrew Cashner started. Marcus Walden and Heath Hembree came out of the bullpen. Do you remember that time in Red Sox, like Andrew Cashner's time in Red Sox history?
That was like their big deadline acquisition this year. Like, have no fear, Andrew Cashner is here.
Andrew Cashner, who did, like, when he walked, like, he looked like a Red Sox. He had that big beard. He was huge, right? Like, he was unbelievably tall.
Yeah. He was terrible.
What did Andrew Cashner, I gotta find this. Andrew Cashner in 2019 ripped off a 6.20 after coming over from the Orioles. Anyway, he started that game. He was actually
not great.
Yeah, it was not great. Not great. He was not great in that game. But seriously, they were one hit for the first time since Andrew Cashner was pitching for the Red Sox. Rafi Devers had a double in that game. Tonight, the Red Sox have one hit. It is a single by Nick Sogard. And that's it. It's not like there was bad luck. They had three balls hit at 95+. They were two flyouts and a lineout, one by Duran, two by Tyler O'Neill. But, you know, nothing happened. I mean, that's really, so we can say a lot of words, but nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. Just zoom out with me for a second here, Zach. Are you stunned that the offense is this bad? Are you surprised? Are you not surprised? Like, where do you sit right now?
I'm pretty surprised because, I mean, even going into this year, I think everybody assumed that they were going to hit and that it was going to be the pitching that falters. And it was that for the middle part of the season of this slump, like the pitching just wasn't getting it done and the offense was. But now, like the last month or so, the offense has just become completely inept while the pitching has been pretty solid.
And it's like, it's just incomprehensible. I don't quite know where I stand, but you sum it up perfectly. Like that's what's happened. It's pretty simple. Again, this is Red Sox Review. We are live 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937. I want to get there, but the manager, Alex Cora, is speaking right now. So let's get you there. Let's get you to Alex. Let's hear what he has to say. If he has anything to say, I'm not really sure what there is to say. There wasn't much to talk about. But let's get you there. Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, speaking tonight after a 2-0 one-hit loss in the series finale against the Tampa Bay Rays.
First time all year you guys been one hit. What'd you see from the offense tonight?
The same thing has been happening for a month and a half. We're not executing. At one point, like I said, we were the best offense in baseball against righties, and now we're not producing runs. So, yeah, he did a good job moving the cutter, throwing four seamers up, expanding with the split down. Kind of like the same thing we saw the first few days here.
Does this still feel like the longest time that you guys have been in a slump like this?
Yeah. It's been, I think it started with Houston at home, and we haven't been able to produce, you know, consistently. Yeah, there's big games here and there, but I think, you know, like I said before the game or yesterday, you know, like overall, you know, we haven't been able to produce.
And it's been a couple of your guys who are all-stars. Some of your best hitters have been among the guys who have struggled.
I mean, we didn't have too many bad hitters a month and a half ago. If you look at our lineup, everybody was clicking. Everybody was doing their part. And right now, we're collectively slumping.
guys have been kind of looking ahead to that series this weekend for a while.
No, we weren't looking ahead.
I just been kind of hoping that would be your chance to, you know, how much did it hurt?
I mean, there's a chance, yeah. You know. I mean, we're sweeping, we won, but Detroit is tied and Seattle, you know, is ahead of us. So it's a uphill battle. It's tough, you know. Yeah. So realistically, it's very tough, but, you know, we still got three games against them.
The sound of a man who, you know, again, the thing that I will say, and we, you know, Alex was on the afternoon show yesterday. Obviously, we've got him on the pregame show every single day. At no point has he pretended like this is anything other than what it is, which is, you know, just an enormous downturn in the scope of this season. You know, that's not that sound in his voice. You just said it. Would you say he sounds miserable?
Yeah, miserable.
Dejected.
Oh my gosh. He did not sound like he had a good time.
Yeah. It's a miserable, dejected, melancholic. It's a thesaurus kind of night here. But it's not a guy who's surprised. You know, this has been too slow of a burn. But, you know, I mean, the Red Sox since the beginning of September, and he talked about a month and a half, and really it is, right? It's mid August. You know, with that Houston series he's talking about. But if you just go from the beginning of September, because it's a little easier to delineate, the Red Sox lead the league in soft contact. I mean, you know, their rate of soft contact is worse than, you know, it goes Red Sox. I mean, think about where these teams are right now. Red Sox, 19.4%. Minnesota at 2. They're in the midst of an epic collapse. The Texas Rangers, who've played not terrible baseball since the trade deadline after going all in. The White Sox, who, you know, and the Braves, who are in the middle of, you know, a collapse of their own. You know, that's where you are in terms of soft contact for a team that hit the ball hard for so much of the year. And so, you know, it's not, it, you know, it, there are a million different things that are damning, but that's just one of them. All right, Red Sox lose 2-0. We're going to get to you on the other side of this break. Call 617-779-7937. Text 37937. We're going to hear from Jaren Duran. We're going to hear why Jaren Duran was pinch hit for. We're going to hear from the man in charge, Craig Breslow, and we're going to hear from you as well. Red Sox Review, we continue right now up until just past 11 right here. It's Red Sox Review on WEEI.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Red Sox review, live again. Cooper Boardman with you. Zach Coe inside the glass. 617-777-9797. 617-779-7937. Text line
3-7. Our phone lines are open.
93-7, they are. Let's see. He's hot tonight on the drop board over there. Zach Coe, we are reviewing a 2-0 loss for the Red Sox against Tampa Bay Rays. They are held to one hit. They are one hit for the first time since 2019. They are one hit, one hit, one hit. Just awful. Just an awful few days in Tampa, considering the fact that the other, you know, Minnesota lost again and again and again. They've lost 6 out of 7. They're having a terrible month of September, and the Red Sox are going to go into this series 3 games back of the Twins. And, you know, I am trying to figure, like, the anatomy of this offensive collapse. Because to me, all right, you know, beyond, and it matters in two ways. It matters, like, if the Red Sox are going to pull off some crazy miracle, you know, and overcome playoff odds that are now below 2%, you know, according to FanGraphs. If they're going to do that, the offense is going to turn around. It's going to be some kind of miracle. All of a sudden, Raffy's going to start hitting. Tristan's going to, you know, continue, you know, to ascend that he has over the last 5 days. Duran's going to get back to who he is, and then everybody else is going to hit the way that they were for the better part of 3 months. That's what will happen. Assuming that doesn't happen, because I don't think that's what's going to happen. I wouldn't bet money that's what's going to happen, even at the odds that they're at, I guess. To me, how you break down what the last 10 days have been like, how you break down what the last 20 days, 30 days, 40 days have been like offensively, like how you assess that informs so much about 2025. About the decisions made between now and the beginning of next year. And I'm trying literally right now to figure it out. Because if you look at September, and this is, you know, not an enormous sample size. So, you know, you look at September and everybody's numbers are just horrific. I mean, you've got, you know, from an OPS perspective, you know, Tyler O'Neill is at a 904 and nobody else is above 800. Connor Wong has started to hit, so he is above league average. And that's literally it in terms of guys that are league average or better OPSs. So then you zoom out, right? And August, I think, is very good. You know, from the beginning of August to now is a good enough sample size, because you're talking about, you know, 140 to 150 plate appearances. So from a rolling perspective, I don't want to say it's a real number, because that's probably not fair, but it's close to a real number, or closer to a much more real number, you know, than just beginning of September. You can have bad luck for 3 weeks collectively as a group. It's a lot harder to have bad luck for 8 weeks collectively as a group. And you look at it here, and, you know, it's so Ref Snyder in limited plate appearances has been very good. Yoshida has an OPS right around 811, which has been the ceiling of his production. You know, you're talking about Tyler O'Neill, who continues to hit, but he, you know, there was an enormous period of struggle for Tyler O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill's hitting 190 with a 782 OPS since the beginning of August. And people want to say you have to give him this qualifying offer. I'm not sure you do. Like, the reality is they're going to extend it to him because they want him to decline it under Scott Boras and get the comp picked. And that game of chicken is one that either way, you know, you're paying him $22 million and you're getting him back, or more likely you're getting that extra first round pick to do it. But when I talk about him in the 2025 picture, I you know, 31 pumps is great. And that's a number that jumps off the page, but I'm not necessarily sure. It's a number that the Red Sox need, but I'm not sure that he's the guy to do it. Because you can make an argument in 2024 that he has been the best version of himself possible. And again, he's hitting 190 over this 2 month stretch in which he's, you know, been a legitimate 9 home run power threat. I don't know how you feel, Zach Coe.
Yeah, I think they're going to extend him the qualifying offer. I'm not necessarily super mad at it. I kind of think he's better fit to be a fourth outfielder role to try and make him last the whole season. Obviously, he's had a bunch of weird injuries between the leg infection, which put him in the hospital for, what, almost 2 weeks. He missed time for that. So, ultimately, I think they're going to, like you said, give him the qualifying offer, because if you can get a first-round pick for Nick Robertson and Victor Santos, that's good business in my book.
Very. And 31 home runs this year.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But like you said, I don't know how sustainable it is. And I think part of it is that he's a super, super streaky hitter. So if you would have asked me at a time where he's going good, I'd be like, absolutely, let's get this guy back in here. He's everything we wanted in a right-handed bat. But right now, it's just tough to say, like, yeah, let's give this guy 22 mil.
And that's why I try to give this sample size from the beginning of August to now, because you've had both of those things. You know, you had a stretch in August where it felt like, you know, you were seeing the wind on his swings. And you've had a stretch in September over the course of the last week and a half, where he is the guy that you feel like is homering every three games. You know, that's real. And it adds up to 190 on the batting average, 302 in the on base, and a slug that is enormous at 480. There's value for a guy like that. But for this team, the way that I think you probably want it to be constituted, I just would hope that there are other ways to get there. Like a Teoscar Hernandez, who is not going to be sitting at a 35%, 37% strikeout rate. You know, he's right around 30, 31 in the span that I'm talking about, those 2 months. And it's just not, you know, you can have live or die guys, but I am not as gung-ho about it. Again, I just think these 2 months are really interesting. I just think it's a very interesting period of time, because you're talking about Jaron Duran at a 311 on base, a guy who doesn't walk a whole lot. You know, he walks some, but when he is at his best, you know, he's a high average with slug. He's obviously had an amazing year. I'm not going to tear him down. I don't think that's fair. But, you know, if you're playing the negative side of this, is him at a 772 OPS, which is productive and perfectly fine for your leadoff hitter, who he is on a long-term scale? I think that you can make that argument. I think you can make the argument that what he is doing in 2024 is going to be the best year he ever has at an 835 OPS. And by the way, that's great. He's an all-star. Like, if the best year he ever has is an all-star, he can be an all-star again and be worse than that. This is not some referendum on him. But again, as I assess, as you assess, as we assess this offense moving forward, there are so many pieces of that. And it's really, really hard to wrap your head around. I want to go through the whole thing. We got to hit a break here. So let's do that. I see your calls. I'm going to get to you as soon as we get back from break here. 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Again, we're going to hear from Craig Breslow. We're going to hear from Brian Bayo. We're going to hear from Jaron Duran. And we're going to hear from you. Again, 37937 on the text line as well. Back in one quick second, Red Sox Review Live on WEEI.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, back to it. Red Sox WEEI Studios, Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass. 2-0. The loss tonight against Tampa Bay Rays, latest in a long line of just bad offensive nights.
Misery business indeed.
Oh, man. It's like they went 1-for-28 as a team with 11 strikeouts tonight, and it wasn't surprising. Like, it's not supposed to – you're not supposed to – I'm not going to say that I expect it because I don't think that that's fair. Had this team scored 6-7 runs tonight, I would have been, like, stunned. But I probably would have been a little surprised. But, like, you know, it's one of those things, and you know, if you're a baseball fan of any age, you know, you have these years, and, you know, the Red Sox are in this unbelievably long drought offensively where you know this is going to happen. But, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you know this feeling, and it happens tonight where, like, you turn on the game, you go down 1-2-3 in the first inning, and it's like, oh, okay, it's one of these. It's just another one. Like, you just know that feeling, and then you watch, and you watch pitch after pitch and batter after batter. And at some point, maybe you get up and go to the bathroom. That's always the best thing, because at least then you can look yourself in the mirror. And, you know, you go over there, and it's like, what am I doing? That's the feeling. That's what happened tonight. Nick Sogard single. Thank you.
I think the most frustrating part about that is that it's been the last 3 years now that we've been doing this in August and September, and you just sit there and you're like, man, like, this is a team that could have made the playoffs if they continued playing well, and yet again, they collapsed down the stretch. Like, obviously, this hasn't been, or at least it doesn't feel as bad as last year, where they were one of the worst teams of all time in that two-month stretch, but it's so frustrating watching them fall off year after year.
It's true, and, you know, I think it would be more frustrating had the other teams have been playing better baseball. Like, you've had just so many teams be so bad that it's like, it doesn't compute the same way, but it probably should. All right, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. All right, let's open up the phone lines. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo. Welcome to Red Sox Review.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to throw up my dinner. I don't know. Between the Patriots and the Red Sox, I mean, this I don't remember in a long time. I mean, this is – there's not a clutch player on that. And you, everybody better hope Devers is hurt, because if he's not hurt, you have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I mean, really. He is. He is hurt.
Well, that's what everybody thinks. That's what everybody thinks.
I'm not in love
with him like you are, Coop. You're in love with him.
I'm an apologist.
He's had some good years.
You're right. I'm an apologist.
And he's had some good years, but he also had some good years. I think Ortiz was there for a few of Manny. But anyway, 10 hits in 3 games. You really got to be kidding me. And I hope somebody can look up. I'm just too lazy. I might do it the last 2 months. And I bet you there's not a guy hitting 300. Not one guy. And to me, I'm going to let you go now. And my question to you is, to me, there's nobody that wouldn't be unavailable to me. There would be nobody that I would say is we're not going to trade. There's not a guy in that team I wouldn't trade, and I want to see what you think about it and your callers think about it.
Yeah, Mike, thank you.
Okay, kid.
Yeah. Look, if you're wondering, Masataka Yoshida is hitting 300 since the beginning of July, which is kind of unbelievable to me. You know, and if it's also, you know, if you look at it from the on-base percentage perspective, you know, what is the equivalent of a good on-base, because you've got guys who walk, you know, Duran is in that mix. You know, you want to say you don't like Rafi. I mean, you're sitting in a situation where Rafi is hitting around 270 with a 344 on base and a 470 slug, and he's been awful for a month. You know, that's it. Is there anyone I wouldn't trade? Mike and I are going to do this butting of heads forever, of course, but they're not going to trade Devers. I'm sorry. They didn't sign him to a deal to trade him. It doesn't make any sense. You would be trading your best offensive player. You need more good offensive players, not fewer. But I will say this, Mike, you know, beyond where we disagree there, and I don't think it's worth it, I actually don't think that there's anybody offensively that is untradeable. And we talked about this. What Jarren Duran would command on an open market is significant. What Jarren Duran could command for a starting pitcher would be significant. What Masataka Yoshida to offload a guy who does not have a position, who does not hit well enough right now to justify that? Yeah, you're not going to trade Trevor Story. You know that there's no reason to do that. You have 3 years left on an expensive contract, relatively expensive contract, not that expensive, and you would get no value back for him. Casas, sure, you could have that conversation, but you'd be trading a guy at the lowest end of his value with a very high ceiling. Probably just wouldn't make that much sense. You know, Willy Abreu, we talked about it. He's in the Duran category. Seidon Rafael is probably not going anywhere with an 8-year deal behind him. There are teams that I think would take that contract on, though, for a low value. I don't, at top of my head, I have no understanding of what if any, no trade would be in that, but on a long-term deal, you know, there's a shot that would be there. But I think you will see some trade in this off. I won't guarantee anything because I don't know, Mike, but I think there's a good shot you see a trade that seismically changes the structure of this roster. I think there's a very good chance of that, the way the Red Sox are operating, because I don't think they're going to sign 3 big-name stars, and they probably need that to be competitive in what the American League East is. I think I don't think that would be surprising to me at all that there would be a trade like that, Zach.
Yeah, I don't think so either, and I think I've mentioned this to you off air a couple times, but they're in a perfect position, similar to the one that they were in around 2015, 2016, when they went out and they added to the core that they were building that ended up in the 2018 World Series. Like, obviously, they went out, they made David Price at the time the richest pitcher in baseball history. Obviously, that was broken like a week later by Zach Greinke, but they went out, they traded Manuel Margot and a couple other prospects for Craig Kimbrel, and then the next offseason they went out and they got Chris Sale. So, like, I think they're in a pretty good position to do different moves like that, whether or not ownership is willing to extend themselves on a deal for a pitcher like they were with David Price, whether that be Corbin Burns or Max Fried. I guess we'll have to see. But I agree with you. I think there's almost no chance that they don't make a pretty significant trade this offseason.
It's just, to me, like, So if you look at the teams that are having the, you know, the Red Sox are having the worst 2 months almost imaginable offensively. So if you pull up those same couple of months and you look at the teams that are having the best seasons, right? Because this whole narrative about an offense is you need to be good down the stretch. The Red Sox have not been good. They've been, you know, really, really struggled these last few years, as we all know, late August into September. So let's look at the teams. I'm just pulling this up in front of me. I'm going to react to it. Like, the teams that have been good in this 2 month stretch where the Red Sox, for whatever reason, cannot figure it out. This is how it goes. I'm sorting it by OPS, you know, just as a general number. It goes Diamondbacks 1. Well, been there, done that. 2 stars. Corbin Carroll's played like a star the last 2 months. Ketel Marte is a star. The Dodgers, 1,000 stars. Shohei. Mookie's not, you know, has been hurt. You know, Freddie Freeman has turned it around in a gigantic way. And then you know what the rest of their lineup is like. The Cubs, who made a deadline acquisition for a star. They have Seiya Suzuki, who's playing very well, and they got Isak Paredes from the Rays. They have 2 guys in their lineup that are certified top-end guys. The Padres.
Bellinger, too, on the
right. Oh, yeah. Sorry. My bad. And he hasn't even hit that well for them. I mean, you're talking about a guy in Belly that, like, you know, he's sitting at a 767 with 18 homers. That's pretty good. I take my Bellinger slander back. You're right. You know, so 2.5, 3 stars there. Padres, Machado, you know, Tatis, Jake Cronenworth has turned into one. Jerickson Profar is having the best year of his life. He's having he's the one or two in National League on base percentage all year long. Jackson Merrill has turned into a stud. I mean, you're talking about 4 or 5 guys that are bona fide stars. You came into the year with 2. You're leaving the year with 5. Guys have to get better throughout the year. The Phillies, come on. I mean, we know what that's about. The Braves. You know, it's funny, for as bad as the Braves have been, that's where the Braves are. You know, they're a top 5, top 6 offensive club. So I could keep going, right? The Mets are in here. The Brewers are in there. The Yankees with Judge and Soto are in there. The Royals with Bobby Witt and Pasquantino when healthy are in there. The Astros are in there, whatever. The point being is there is a level here when I read those off to me, at least one of the takeaways, and there are many takeaways, but one of the takeaways to me is known commodity, in that all of those teams have 2 guys where you kind of know what you're getting. Like, you know that you're getting something good at a Belly. You know you're getting something good out of Paredes. You know you're getting something good out of Schwarber. You know you're getting something great out of Harper. You know, but it's not even like every team there has $300 million men. It's just they have either homegrown a stud like Corbin Carroll and paid one that kind of fell into their laps like Ketel Marte. And so, to me, what this team is lacking, and I know Devers has struggled, but I will put him in the category. Like, I'm sorry, like, even if you hate Raffy Devers, you would rather have Raffy Devers than Cody Bellinger. Like, if you think Raffy Devers is the worst player, the most overrated player in the history of the Boston Red Sox, if you're on that side of the argument, I'm not. But if you're on that side of the argument, like, you would rather have you know, him than Seiya Suzuki. Like, and so my point is, if we're going to label him as one known commodity, relatively known commodity as an 800 plus OPS guy, as a 280 guy in batting average, right? Who's the other guy? Tristan Casas is supposed to be that guy. He was hurt. He came back. He'd been terrible. He's getting better. I think he can be that guy. I really do. And I know some people aren't sold. I think Mike in Buffalo is a good example of someone who is not sold. But I really do. Like, I think he could be, but he hasn't been healthy, and the health concerns long term are legitimate. And so, to me, when I kind of break it down, and we talk about the Padres, that what you said about Jackson Merrill is dead on. You know, the way that he has come on, the way that Jerickson Profar is on, they came into the year knowing that once Tatis was actually able to play and Machado was able to play, that they were going to have 2 knowns. And then if any one or 2 of those guys, you know, in the rest of their lineup, you know, were able to give you something, Arise too. Oh my God. Like, I talk about Luis Arise slander, right? So they came in with two real known commodities. And then if they got anything else out of the other 2 or 3, they were going to be a really, really good, consistent offensive club down the stretch of the season. To me, the Red Sox have a situation where they have Raffy Devers. They have, you know, they have their Jackson Merrill breakout guy, like Jaron, and that's Jaron Duran. They have the guy who has the ability to pop like Jerkson, Profar, in Tristan Casas, but they don't have the Fernando Tatis or Luis Arraez. They don't have the guy that when he comes up, other than Rafi, and Rafi, again, I'm not talking about these last few weeks. I'm talking about over the totality of a career. They don't have the guy that when he steps into the batter's box, you're like, ah, okay, you know, we're good. You know, you watch the Yankees over the weekend, and look, they have two really good hitters and seven guys. You know, I know Gleyber Torres and Austin Wells are having, you know, good stretches here, but they have two unbelievable hitters and seven hitters in that lineup on average. You know, I just think that you don't have that duo, those two guys that can carry an offense. It's too much on Rafi. And by the way, when Rafi was going right, they weren't pitching to him. I mean, you talk about the walk rate, which is going to finish, and it'll probably finish, you know, at or below a career average. Well, not even, right? He's at 11%. He's going to finish, despite this whole stretch here, above league average. They weren't pitching to him because they didn't respect anybody else in the lineup. The Red Sox are in a situation here where, just to me, if you want to be in the conversation with any of these teams, you need another known. And, you know, and there are plenty of names out there. Alex Bregman is the name that's been, you know, thrown around a million times. He'd be great. I'd love to see him clear the monster a million times. But whoever it is and whatever it is, it's not just a Teoscar Hernandez to put yourself in a different echelon. It's an Alex Bregman. And that's before we even begin the conversation about pitching. And, you know, there's a lot there, but that's what I think.
Yeah, like, to your point, like, I'm a Tristan Casas believer. I'm a Roman Anthony believer. I believe that all four of the big four are going to be impact major league players. But like you said, there's too much uncertainty there. Like, yeah. Could Marcelo Meyer or any one of those prospects come up and have a Bobby Witt Jr. level impact on you? Sure. We can't just write that in Sharpie. You need some more certainty in there. Like, you're just banking way, way, way too much on the prospects to come up here and be impact players immediately.
It doesn't happen, and everyone knows this, you know, immediately. Like, I'm a Jackson Holliday believer. He's the next coming of whatever. Jackson Holliday is having an awful year. He's had a horrific year. He's been down. He's been back up. He came back up. He still hasn't been good. He had a good stretch when he came back up, but the numbers are horrible. And you know, that's the reality. And look, I'm going to take calls next July from people that are telling me that Roman Anthony is bad. I just know it. Like, we can all live in that whatever. He's not in 20, you know, but we don't do vindication for 2026, right? And certainly I don't want to be talking about 2026 right now. But that's kind of the point. Like, the idea that the Red Sox are in a situation where you want those guys to come in and have an opportunity for a soft landing too. I think to not bring somebody else in, to not have a star, is a disservice to them. Is a disservice to the idea that they're going to come up and have the weight of every call that we take here, the weight of an entire fan base, the weight of a city that loves this team and this sport and that ballpark and everything so much. The idea that they are going to have to carry that burden without support, I think would be a disservice to them. And it would be a bad introduction to baseball in a place that's wonderful when it's good.
Yeah, and I think an underrated need on this team is some more veteran leadership. Like, obviously, I'm not in the clubhouse, so I have no idea. But to me, it seems that, like, you're going this bad for there not to be a leak of a players-only meeting or, like, some sort of meeting to be like, all right, guys, it's time to get our you-know-what together. Like, the Twins are trying to hand us this third wild card spot, and we can't hit our way out of a wet paper bag right now. Like, I just really think that maybe, like, whether it be Justin Turner last year or whoever, like, they just need somebody to step up and fill that leadership void, because Rafael Devers is their best player, but Cora has been very adamant that he does not like being the leader on this team.
Yeah, and you know, like, the texter asked about Pete Fatsy and the you know, and people talk about Alex Cora a lot. The whole coaching thing, I'm so sick of it. Like, I don't think Alex Cora could have gotten much more out of this team. I don't think Pete Fatsy gets much more out of this offense. This was the best offense in baseball for 3 months. That's not an exaggeration when I say that. You know, what you're watching here is maybe, you know, Jaron Duran getting to this point in his life for the first time, like a full 162 with the weight of this team on his back. You're watching, you know, David Hamilton got hurt. You know, you're watching Seydon Rafaela really struggle because he's at this point in a major league season for the first time in his life. You're watching Tristan Casas get hurt. At a certain point, you know, the guys that you're supposed to bank on, and look, Trevor Story was supposed to be that other guy with Devers. It hasn't materialized. You can't walk into 2025 with the belief that that's the way it's going to be. But, you know, Willy Abreu, same thing. I just think you're watching, you know, a team come to a screeching halt that has really, you know, done, and when, you know, the word overachieve has a negative connotation. I don't mean it that way, but a team that has overachieved beyond original expectation, they absolutely have in 2024. And if you had someone, if you looked at this team and you had someone else to carry this burden right now, you know, even just to get on base tonight, if you had somebody, I'm just saying this because we were watching Mariners Yankees earlier. Like, if Aaron Judge was in this lineup, I'm not saying they're going to go get Aaron Judge. I'm just saying someone in his stratosphere kind of player. You're talking about somebody who gets on base probably twice tonight because they're not going to pitch to you because nobody else in the lineup is doing anything. And that changes the complexion of a game like this. It sounds silly, but it's true. And the pitching has been so good. You know, what Craig Breslow has done with his pitching staff, what Andrew Bailey has done with his pitching staff after the downturn, I believe in the future of this bullpen in a crazy way. I believe in the future of this starting rotation, which is not as crazy. But
to that point, I mean, earlier about Judge, like earlier you said they need a guy that when they step in the box, you just say,
fear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last week, Bailey Horn walks Juan Soto, loads the bases. Aaron Judge is coming up to the plate. The most predictable grand slam of all time happens because when you walk Soto and it's Judge, Yankees fans can sit there and say, like, this is our guy. Like, if somebody's going to come through here against Bailey Horn, it's going to be Aaron Judge. We had that with David Ortiz for 15 years, and we just haven't really had it. Like, not to discredit Rafi, like, I think he's a great hitter, but he doesn't have that same presence in the box.
No, and if you had someone else of Rafi's equivalent, you would have... You would have what you need too. Like, it doesn't. David Ortiz is unbelievable. David, I mean, we know what that. You know what it's like to have Aaron Judge. You had Aaron Judge, but it's just, you know, you don't need that, but you need multiple threats, and it doesn't. There's just not enough known to me.
Right.
I guess that's kind of the topic sentence here.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, like. You have that, and Devers can be that guy, but like if there's just nobody behind him because there's nobody like Tristan Casas struggling coming off of an injury or Trevor Story hitting behind Devers, there's just no protection to him. So there's no reason to pitch to him when he's going right, which obviously right now he's not.
Right, and that's why, you know, we praised him for taking all those walks early in the year, but I don't want him to walk. I want him to slug. All right, let's hit a break here. Come back with you, 37937 on the text line, 617-779-7937. I just want to, like, let's be honest about everybody in the lineup on the other side. Let's go through it. I need to figure out where everybody is, where everybody stands going into 2025. How do you actually evaluate what offense was in 2024? And it's not over yet, but what's real and what's not? Let's get you there. Red Sox Review, WEEI. All right, Red Sox Review, on we go. Welcome, Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass. Red Sox lose 2-0 against the Rays. They are one hit. You know, I and we're talking offense here, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937. I went to break saying, you know, how do we evaluate what this team is going into 2025 offensively? As is obviously before we get into the pitching conversation. And a texter, you know, puts it out there, you know, best 919, best offense, you know, and I keep saying it, right? The Red Sox were the best offense in baseball over a stretch, really, from the beginning of June to the middle of August. And they say, best offense, if you just look at stats, their hitting approach is not sound. They left a country of runners on base. They don't adjust their approach as well. You know, Zach Coe, when you read that, when you hear that, now the spotlight's on you. You know, do you agree with that?
It's weird because they're striking out at such a colossal rate, but last year the team was built to not strike out at all. So, like, I don't really know where they go from here because obviously, like, something has to change. They can't strike out. It's either, what, the second most or the most amount of times in baseball. Like, that just simply can't happen for this team. So I don't know if it's something about the approach or, like, they're just pressing too much because they're in such a rut. Because, like you said, we have seen them be a really good offense, and, like, the strikeouts obviously came then, but I feel like they're coming at a much more, like, consistent rate. Like, it's every day now, it seems like they're just swinging and, like, setting a new season high for swings and misses. Like, so it's either the approach or they're pressing too much. Like, it's tough to say. Like, honestly, like, I wouldn't even be opposed to just making a change at hitting coach just for the sake of this has happened 3 years in a row. Like, obviously, that's nothing again. Pete Fatsy or anything, but I think something needs to change here.
I just, to me, on the strikeout thing, like, so the Red Sox strike out 25% of the time, and there are a lot of listeners, and I'm sure the texter is included in that, and I understand why, you know, that sit here and say, oh my gosh,
stats are for losers,
this, that, I'm a loser, that's a drop, I'm a loser, Now, like 25%. So that's third highest in baseball. They're striking out one quarter of the time. League average is 23%. The lowest number in baseball is 17%. So it's a pretty wide range from lowest to highest, but it's not that big of a jump from the average to the highest, right? Now, you know, the Red Sox, despite that, have a top five batting average in baseball. Despite that, from the on-base perspective, have a top 10 on-base percentage and slug at a top 5 clip. But, as the texter points out, you know, approach, leaving guys on base, you know, if you just look at stats, it's a good offense. In reality, it's not a good offense. I understand what you're saying there. I understand that. But, like, stats are real too. Like, you can say that it's not anything, that they're not, you know, that stats are fake, that if you watch the games, it's a little bit different. But I'll say this. The Red Sox are a top five slugging team in baseball. Here's what's real. The teams around them. Number one are the Diamondbacks in the playoffs. Number two are the Dodgers. Unbelievable in the playoffs. Number three are the Orioles in the playoffs. Number four are the Yankees. Best record in the AL in the playoffs. Number five are the Red Sox. Number six are the Phillies in the playoffs. Number seven are the Padres in the playoffs. Number eight are the Twins for now in the playoffs. Number nine are the Mets in the playoffs. Number 10 are the Astros. 11 Royals. 13 Milwaukee. Playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. That's real too. Those results are real too. So you can say that, you know, stats aren't real. And to it, you know, it's funny. It's like they can be a mirage. But result, you know, like the results around the Red Sox are real. And so to me, it's more about individuals, and it's can you look at these individuals coming into 2025, and this is a continuation of the conversation we were just having here on Red Sox Review, Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line 37937, text line's hopping tonight, by the way. You know, to me, it's more about how do you assess what these individuals genuinely are? And I kind of go, I'm going to go blow by blow here. I'm going to look at this roster and you and I can go, like, what do you think? Like, just give me your honest thought based on what you think a guy can be. And I don't really care when you answer this, Zach, like, I don't really care about full results of this season. It's just kind of what is your gut on who these guys are? And I'm going by OPS of these last couple of months in order. Yoshida.
So I'm a Masataka Yoshida guy. So
that's good. I'm not.
I think there's value to what he brings to the team. He brings a solid approach. He's not going to strike out a whole lot. He's going to walk a little bit. And I personally feel like he's not as bad as the team is letting on out in the outfield. Like, don't get me wrong, he's not going to win any gold gloves out there.
They didn't put him out there once.
Well, that's what confuses me, because in the offseason, Cora and I think it was Tom Warner said, like, we don't think he's as bad as the numbers show out there. And yet this year, they're completely afraid to put him out there. Like, he was swinging a great bat, one of the best bats on the team. And Devers was nursing that shoulder injury, and they didn't want to put him at third. So Yoshida just sat on the bench and eventually cooled off. Like, I really think they could have trotted him out there in left field at that point.
But they didn't, and they won't. Right?
No, yeah. So obviously he has limited value, and like, I'm also not of the, I said this the other night, like, I'm not of the belief that this $18 million that he's making is some albatross that you can't work around. Like, ultimately, I think he's not on the team next year, whether that be a trade or even just straight up DFAing him and eating the money. Like, I think that would probably be worst case scenario. But I do wonder if a team like the Mariners, that is just so starved for hitting, is willing to give you just something to take the bat.
I think that's not a bad point. I think, I guess, a trade could change two things. It can either send him away and put him somewhere, you know, somewhere else and try to get something, anything back for him. But I think, not that $18 million is or should be crippling, but it's too much money to assume there's value coming back at that point. So it either accomplishes getting him out of here, or if a different trade, Abreu, Duran, even Casas, something like that, if you end up in a situation where you are capable of trading one of those hitters, well, then all of a sudden, the left-handedness doesn't cripple you the way that it did this year. It doesn't become something where, because he can't play defense, because, you know, he's in his, you know, just because he can't play defense, you know, and is only left-handed, he just continues to hurt you. Okay, that's Masa. So that's, you know, so you're in a situation where we land on, you're either trading him or trading something around him, I think. You know, we did O'Neill. He's going to get that qualify. We got to do it. He's going to get that qualifying offer. He's probably not going to accept it, and he'll probably walk. I think that's, do you see it any other way?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe a scenario where they go out and they explore some of the right-handed bats that are available to them, and maybe if there's nothing that pops up on the trade market and he's still out there and wants, say, like a 3-year $45 million deal, like, that's something you at least have to consider if you're like really up against it. But I would say the most likely option is getting the qualifying offer. He declines it, he signs elsewhere, and you take your first round pick and you run away laughing.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Duran. Spotlight's on you, baby.
So I said earlier in the week that I'm trading Duran if I'm choosing a player to trade, but like you said earlier in the show, I don't think anybody's off the table. I just kind of think that this is a peak year for Duran. But at the same time, I said this to my buddies the other day, and my one friend said, like, I just don't see it, because when you look at young players and you tell them to look at the major league team, and like, you want to play like Jaron Duran. Like, yeah, he just goes out there and he grinds and he posts every day, besides obviously the suspension. Like, it's just really tough to move a guy like that, but eventually you're going to have to make a trade that hurts.
It's true. I've swung in every which way. You know, would I trade Jaron Duran for George Kirby? Well, they're not going to trade you George Kirby. They're not going to trade you Logan Gilbert. That's the other thing, too. Like, would you trade him for Brian Wu?
Yes.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know.
I just feel like, I don't know, like, if that's what you can get, like, if Brian Wu is the best value that you're going to get and it happens to be for Jaron Duran, I think you have to do it.
But then how do you hit? I'm not asking you to answer that question. I don't know if there is an answer to that question, but how do you hit? In many ways, you're kind of wed to Jaron because of what he's become. But I you know, but then you can make the argument the other way, that if you trade him, you might be trading him at the peak of his value. But boy, I'll tell you one other thing about a potential Jaron Duran trade. Craig Breslow better be ready. Like, could you imagine the calls we would get the day after Jaron Duran was traded? I can't even begin to imagine what that will be like if it happened.
People would probably be more angry about that than if they traded Devers, which is ridiculous to me.
That is crazy. You're 100% right. 100%. And I think probably the rational fan, that's not true. But I do think that some of the dialogue that we've had, that might be true. All right, Abreu. How do you look at Willy Abreu?
So I know we had this conversation the other day. I was stunned to look at his Baseball Savant page and see that he is like one of the elite, elite right fielders in baseball. So he's a guy that I'm leaning towards keeping, but like him and Duran, I think it's either one of them that is going to be the guy shipped out. Like I said, like unless you're getting Tarik Skubal for Roman Anthony, I would guess that he's going to remain in the system into next year. So I think ultimately it comes down to which one you get the better value for.
You know, you've got Willier at a 324 on base, which just feels catastrophically low to me for the season that he's had. Like, I think he is capable. My thing is Willier is sitting on an 800 OPS as a one-sided splits guy, you know, sitting at a 259 batting average. But that doesn't tell the whole story because he walks a lot and he hits a lot of home runs and he doubles a lot and he plays great defense. So, you know, it doesn't remotely tell the story, actually, of Willier Abreu's season. But he doesn't hit lefties. But he's really good. Like, I love Willier Abreu. And I do wonder, you know, how do you assess, so if, like you just said, right, and like we've been saying, Duran versus Abreu in the trade a lefty outfielder, you know, sweepstakes. Step right up. Like, you can probably get a ton for Duran because of what this year was. You probably do not get close to as much for Abreu. But is the difference between those two over the next 5 years enormous? I'm asking that. I'm not saying that that's... it might be, and it certainly was this year. Jarendran was an all-star that hit both left and right-handers. He had an amazing, unbelievable year. Do they feel like Abreu... You know, these are the questions that they will be asking. Do you feel like Abreu can blossom into somebody who can be a legitimate threat against left-handed pitching? Are you going to have Romy Gonzalez next year as your right-handed option? And can he play an outfield position or some kind of equivalent to it? You know, Rob Refsnyder slots in. And so you would be in a situation where you trade Duran. I'm just talking this out. You trade Duran for pitching. You keep Abreu. Abreu hits against righties. And Refsnyder hits against lefties.
That might be the direction they go. I mean, when you're looking at service time, too, Abreu has 5 years and Duran has four. So, like, you're talking about guys with control already. So, like, I don't know. I guess it just depends on what you... If Duran gets you Brian Wu and Abreu's only getting you Emerson Hancock, like, I feel like you have to take Brian Wu. Like, I'm not a huge Emerson Hancock guy. He hasn't had great success in limited appearances this year at the major league level, but like I think Wu is a substantial upgrade from Hancock.
I think so. I agree with you, and I think the Mariners would see it that way too. And again, we're using the Mariners as an example because those are easy, you know, an easy team with a dearth of starting pitching, but there's plenty of different options out there. But I you know, I don't dislike what we've conjured there.
On Abreu, too, he only has 60 plate appearances against left-handed hitters or left-handed pitchers. So, like, it hasn't been good, obviously, 179 batting average. But I kind of am okay with letting him work it out. Like, we've seen Cora play really strict platoons on these young guys. We saw it with Casas last year. So I'm a little bit more open to seeing him against more left-handed pitching just maybe before we make this decision. So, like, in the next 10 games.
And at 25 years old for Willier.
Yeah.
Man. All right, we got like a minute here before we got to hit a break. So let's do these two quick. I got three names, sorry, real quick. And just hit me real quick. Really quick. Wong, Casas, Rafaela.
Wong, I think, is a backup catcher. Rafaela, I'm not really sold on as a major league hitter. I think I'm with Jeff Passan. I think Tristan Casas could be like an MVP level player.
Wow. Strong. Here's where I'm at. Wong, I think Wong's a huge conundrum. Because he doesn't play good defense. Can he become a good defender? Maybe. There's a versatility aspect to him that is empowering in terms of decision making, but ultimately, the fact that he can play second base sometimes doesn't really do that much for me. The fact that he can play first base sometimes just doesn't really do that much for me. Like, he's a high average guy, but like, that's kind of what he is. And it just, I just. And especially with Kyle Teal coming, it's not like Kyle Teal is this otherworldly defensive catcher. Where Connor Wong fits to me I don't really have the answer to that. I don't know. Rafaela, You are living with Rafael, whatever he is. And they signed that contract at a pretty low AAV for a long time because they basically guaranteed themselves Ezekiel Tovar level defense forever. And that's great. Can he hit? We'll find out. But that's what that contract is. You're living with that. He's going to play every day somewhere. And that's what it is. And I agree with you on Casas. I don't know if he's an MVP. I do know that you're trading him for, unless somebody wants to overvalue him right now, which is not going to happen. You're trading him at the complete lowest end of his value for a player that I think has high value. And I think that's where we stand. All right. Let's step aside. We got much more to do. We're going to hear from you. I see a couple more texts popping in here, so we'll get to that. And then we will get to Craig Breslow and much more sound as we roll along. Red Sox Review live with you, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass. Back in a sec, Red Sox Review on WEEI. There's a Hall of Famer. Joe Castiglione on the call. Whatever that was. 2-0, the loss tonight against Tampa Bay Rays.
It was a baseball game for sure.
It was allegedly a baseball game, Zach Coe. Allegedly a baseball game. Hey, we're here. It's Red Sox Review. We are live from our WEEI Red Sox studios. Cooper Boardman, Zach Coe inside the glass, 617-779-7937. Just for your programming notes here, we are with you, and we are talking Sox. We're, I think, going to be joined by the great Jack McMullen of Just Baseball in just a little bit, just to talk about the Red Sox. And he's got a good eye on the prospects as well, so he can kind of intelligently talk about the scope of, you know, what Roman Anthony being the number one prospect in baseball by Baseball Reference is. And all of that, so juiced up to talk to him, and also how he, as somebody who covers the entirety of Major League Baseball and is in stadiums a lot, sees the Red Sox. Like, how to, you know, we're here in our micro perspective. How does he see the Red Sox from a, you know, how does the league, how does the world see the Boston Red Sox? Because that will matter as we get into the winter and even the next few days. Again, Red Sox Review 37937 on the text line, 617-779-7937. I'll just throw one thing out there about you heard Joe on the call there. Not only one hit, one base runner. And something that, and this is like, I'm throwing this at the wall. Like, I'm not saying that the front office didn't intend to do this when they built the team, because there are some guys that are underachieving in this department. I want to see him walk more. You know, the Red Sox have a walk rate of 7%. They're 20th in baseball in walking. And one of the things that I think you see great offenses do, you know, and the Yankees lead the league in walk rate because they have a man named Juan Soto. The Orioles, you know, are third in walk rate because of Adley Rutschman. But like, Adley Rutschman's a very good example of kind of what I'm talking about here. Adley Rutschman, who's the second coming of the next catcher that's to be great in baseball, is having a god-awful year by his standards. He is hitting .252 with 19 home runs. You couldn't see it coming. Like, it's staggering. But his on-base percentage is .321. And so he's getting on base at a rate, you know, 70 points higher than his batting average because he walks. And so even though he's not hitting, and this is the case, when guys don't hit but they're walk guys, they get on base. There's value for your team. The Red Sox have three more base runners tonight than one. That's four. That would be that, you know, that there's a big difference there. It's the difference, you know, between tonight and last night. But last night and tonight are terrible offensive nights. But what happened last night is Trevor Story's infield single was lucky enough to get him on base. He steals twice. He scores the game-winning run. You win 2-1. A walk is a free way of getting on base, right? And when you look at the teams that walk the most in baseball, the Yankees, the Orioles, the Brewers, the Tigers, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, all those teams are in the top 10. All of those are among the best walk rate. That's the top 10 in walk rate. All of those are playoff teams. Teams that get on base generally have good offenses. And so, you know, the texter that we've been going back and forth with here in 919, you know, about, you know, not being an advanced stats guy. You know, advanced stats would be on base percentage in many ways. And that's an old advanced stat. But that's a stat that carries a lot of value. I think even if, you know, if you watch a game every day, you know what the value of a walk is. I mean, so, and this team, you know, you're basically every team in baseball, Zach, is going to have its bad stretches. You're looking for ways to make those bad stretches better. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, and I mean, we hear Cora time and time again throughout the season say, like, yeah, like, it just didn't happen for us, but we put pressure on, we had traffic on, we had opportunities, and it's just about cashing in on those opportunities. And if you're not walking and you're not getting on base, it makes it less and less likely that you're going to be able to get that infield single that just happens to squeak through and get a run across the board to lead to a win.
Right. And it's, you know, and to be fair, and to be fair to this front office, the way this team was constructed, you were supposed to have guys, I think, that walked at least a little bit more than they have, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, Tyler O'Neill walks, right? You're talking about a 13%. You know, you're talking about a guy who walks a lot. Devers has walked a ton because they haven't pitched to him. Tristan Casas is supposed to walk more than he has. The fact that Tristan is only at a 9% walk rate for the year is just, you know, when the league average is right around 8, it's just not enough to me. You know, and then, but like, Willier Abreu not walking based on the profile that he had in the minor leagues just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It seems to me that over the next couple of years, he will walk more. Connor Wong is an average guy. Duran is an average guy. Yoshida is an average guy. These are guys that do not draw walks. And I do think that that will be, beyond the power, beyond slug, that will be the kind of thing that has to be targeted in making this offense, you know, better than it has been. And that's a small thing, and it's really general. And, you know, walks are the kind of thing where you have to go guy to guy and really dig in about whether you think that they can be the kind of guys, you know, that can do that. But I do feel that way, that has to be some kind of priority as you look at what this offense is, because I think it's the kind of thing that in September matters. Like, we're trying to figure out why this team has struggled in September. It's not the only reason. It's not close to the only reason. They're not hitting the ball hard. That's the real answer. But when that's not happening, what do you do? And I you know, that's one answer. I'm throwing it out there.
It's an interesting conversation, too, because we went through the most of the offense, and a lot of these guys, aside from what Abreu or Duran, are probably going to be here next year. So, like, yeah. How do you change that approach? Like, where do these upgrades come from? Where do they play? Like, they're just in a really weird spot. Like, I mean, it all gets alleviated with a big trade, which it seems like they're poised to do. But even, like, I know we didn't get a chance to play it, but Breslow on Greg Hill Show this morning said we need additional starting pitching depth. Like, I don't think you need depth. Like, you need a frontline starter, and the only way to do that is to go out and make a big trade that gives you that frontline starter, gives you that Chris Sale, and also alleviates some of the logjam that you're creating to make room for these upgrades that we're talking about.
I'm so interested, and I wish I could, you know, and maybe somebody will ask this at some point to him. So when he says that, and I genuinely am at, like, I'm genuinely curious. I'm not, like, walking him into some negative hypothetical. So when he says depth as opposed to, hey, we need, like, the big guy, and I understand that there are a lot of underlying things about financials and all of this that exist here. But what my genuine question to that is, and this is because this is how I hear it, based on what I know about this organization and the best parts of pitching development in this organization, is the idea when he says we need more depth, that essentially, if they can get a number of starting pitchers in here, they can get when you look at all of these guys, you know, and you have an 8, 9, 10, you know, number, that basically, if you have enough guys with the pitching development that they have in place, like, you can get enough of them to pop. You can turn Tanner Houck quality into ace quality. You can turn Cutter Crawford into something even better than he was this year. You can go get one of those Mariners guys that is a 3 or a 4 in their rotation and turn them into a 1. Is that what he means? Is that the best version of what he's dreaming up there? I'm genuinely curious about, like, is that how you hear it to you?
I don't know. I hadn't necessarily considered it like that until you put it like that. I mean, sure, that's a possibility, but, like, and it's definitely nitpicky to say, like, oh, we need additional starting pitching depth, but, like, I would just rather have the sure thing. Like, you can go out and get Max Fried, you can go out and you can get Corbin Burns, and all it's going to cost you is money, and you have that, like, every fifth day you have a stopper. You can go out there, you lost 4 in a row, but it doesn't matter because Max Fried is going today.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, there's such value in it. I mean, it's just, it's pretty darn simple, right? And I also think that you have seen, you know, not only this is not even really a Red Sox conversation, but I think what you've seen around baseball is, you know, why do the Twins keep losing over and over and over again? Well, they don't really, like, they have Pablo Lopez, and he's become a stopper in this second half after a tough first year, or tough start to this year. But they don't have 2, 3, 4 that can stop. I think the Red Sox have built 2, 3, and 4 that can stop. I think that's the difference. Like, I think Tanner Houck as a 2, you feel awesome about. I think he can have the year that he had this year again. But it's really hard. All right, 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937. Let's hit a quick break here. Come on back and get you set up. We'll have Jack McMullen coming on in just a little bit from Just Baseball on the prospect side. 6 rings right after that. We're back in a moment. It's Red Sox Review on WEEI. All right, yes, it is Red Sox Review live with you, Cooper Boardman, Zach Ho inside the glass, wrapping it up. Hey, we got a guest. I've been promising Jack McMullen all night, and I'm going to bring Jack on with an apology here because we're taking you up until Patriots. We got about a minute of or 2 minutes of questions to Jack. But Jack is here from Just Baseball, a man who knows all things baseball. Jack McMullen, hello, friend.
How are you? Listen, I tuned in to hear my friend Cooper talk about baseball, and all I heard was, you guys got to walk more, man. You know walks aren't sexy, right?
They're important, brother. They're important. Oh, man. Hey, I we're going to go rapid fire here. I want like 30 seconds on this here, but like when I just, because we're so micro here, when you look at the Red Sox in 2024, like how does the national perspective look on the Red Sox?
That's a good question. I think it's fine. Like, hey, they're a fine team. I think that there's some star power in that lineup, and there are guys that you could see wearing a Red Sox uniform for a long time, right? Devers, you know, is contractually there. Jaron Duran has proven to be a piece moving forward. Sadon Rafaela, contractually there. There are guys like that. We'll see what happens with Casas. I know that Ken Rosenthal had some thoughts about that, but everybody else, like the offense seems fun. The offense seems exciting. For me in particular, I look at this starting rotation. I heard you talking about that. I wonder who the true frontline guy is. I know that they just extended Brian Bayo, but like, is he the frontline guy? It feels like you paid him to be a high quality 4 or quality 3. And I want to know if they have a 1 in their sights, or if they want to do this thing where they have 5 number 3 starters and they hope that 3 of them are good each turn through the rotation.
Amen. All right, I got one more because Drake May is in the game. Here we go. It is just on, I got like 40 seconds, 30 seconds to answer this, but why believe in Roman Anthony?
Because he is doing something that nobody else in minor league baseball is doing right now. I think this is a very thin class of top flight prospects right now. The guys that have a case, Job is a pitcher, Walker Jenkins, young, been unavailable, Jason Dominguez, been unavailable, Roman Anthony has been available, and he has been so darn good to this point.
Amen. Hey, best 2 minutes in baseball, Jack McMullen. Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I'll remember this forever.
Jack McMullen, by the way, if you're not following Just Baseball, get on that. Jack underscore McMullen 11 on Twitter, Just BB underscore media on Twitter as well. Hey, that's it for us tonight. A lot of fun. I'll remind you as well, you heard the stat earlier and the highlight earlier from the Nissan postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you. Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. 6 rings postgame, Patriots, Drake May, Jets, pain, I don't know, comes your way next. That's it for us tonight. Big thanks to Zach Ho. I'm Cooper Boardman. It's been Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.